I had read earlier Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, which was Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? His voice, when he says, 'Let Israel go,' I do not know the Lord, and besides, I'll not let them leave." Well, this guy was about to learn a very hard lesson. He made these statements. Now, earlier, God had already spoken to Moses. God had set him down. He had went back to the court after 40 years of being absent from Pharaoh's court. He went back in and walked in, and there would have been his stepbrother. And he said, "You know, hey, Pharaoh, I know you, you know me, and I'm about to tell you something. My God says to let my people go." Pharaoh says, "I don't know your God." Besides that, according to the religion of Egypt, Pharaoh was a god. He was a direct descendant of a god. That's what he claimed. And he said, "I don't know your God, and I ain't going to do it." And so God was setting up a situation so that Pharaoh and all the world was going to be taught a lesson. When it comes to God, you listen to what he says. So everything's setting up, and Moses goes to the people and he says, "Okay, God, I am the God who talked to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who said after 400 years, I was going to come down here, God is going to come down here and set us all free. I'm here, I'm the man, and I'm ready to lead us out." They was all, "Yay, let's go, you can do that." So the idea was basically, "Go for it, Moses, we'll fight to the last drop of your blood." Now, you know, later on, after Moses actually goes to Pharaoh, there's a slight trouble, and they're not so happy with Moses at this point because everything started falling apart. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but a lot of times when you say, "I'm going to take a stand for God," or "I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do according to the Scriptures, and I'm going to trust Him," and as soon as you take that stand, you get negative results. You get pushed back from your family. You get pushed aside from your friends. Things just don't go right. And it's just like there's a Pharaoh up there going, "I ain't going to let you go. I'm not going to let you walk away from this. I have had you and controlled you for so long. I'm going to stay in control of you whether you like it or not." And that Pharaoh in our life starts leaning on us and telling us what we will and will not do and how we're going to step and fetch it and all that kind of stuff. And these people was like, "Wait a minute, you went down and you talked to Moses, or Moses, you talked to Pharaoh, and you said, 'Let my people go.' You know what that guy did? He sent a message down to our taskmasters, the people who are ruling over us, telling us what to do every day, and they're no longer going to give us the stuff to make it with. We're missing some of the ingredients, and they're telling us now, we've got to go out there and collect the ingredients, which is straw to bind with the clay they were making bricks out of. You've got to go out and collect your own ingredients and still make the same amount of bricks." Basically, Moses, thanks to you, our workload has doubled and this is miserable, and we hold you accountable for it. They did not like this, and it wasn't the way it was supposed to turn out. Even Moses didn't know that. So their reaction was not positive. And let me read to you what was said. "And Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and their cruel bondage." King James says their anguish of spirit and their bondage. They didn't want to hear it anymore. Moses had went to Pharaoh. Moses knew what Pharaoh had done about doubling their workload on him. Moses was like, "I don't know if you guys ever run into this, but I'm going along sometimes and I'm saying, okay, everything, this is the way it's supposed to happen. This is the way I understand things." And then it's like, "Wait a minute, God, come on, back me up on this." And he's like, "I'm setting this up. Just stay with me on this. Just stay with me. I'm setting this up." You see, there was actually two problems that Moses was dealing with, or I should say, God was going to deal with through Moses. And the first problem was with the children themselves, the children of Israel. We say children, but actually they were adults, kids, older people, various ages, but they were all descendants of Israel. And it's in this verse, chapter 6, verse 9. So when Moses had spoke to God, God had said, I'm going to establish my covenant. I'm going to prove what I said about leading you out. But it says the people did not want to listen to him on account of their anguish of spirit, King James, New American Standard, because of their despondency and cruel bondage. They had problems. For 400 years, or not quite 400 years, they had become the downtrodden. There were so many Jewish people. Their numbers were growing so fast it made the Egyptians nervous. And they thought, we've got to do something to suppress these people, or there's going to be more Jewish people in our country than there are going to be Egyptians. Now, if they had read their scriptures, if the Egyptians had studied it, they would have known that this God said, you're going to be there 400 years, and then I'm going to take you back up to the promised land. But they didn't believe in that God, because, after all, Pharaoh was supposed to be God. And so they said the best way to do it is to oppress them. And because of the despondency, because of the oppression, and the real Hebrew word there is short, because they were made short. And it's not being made physically smaller. It's they were made to feel small, and they were worn down. They were worn down to a nubbin, as they said. They were frazzled. They were tired. And it was not a good situation. And they just said, we work and we work and we work and we work. And they're wearing us down. And they did not want to let up on these people. And actually, that's what the word cruel, cruel bondage, the word cruel there is attentive, constant, cruel. And the word bondage means laborious, hard work. So together, what was going on with the children of Israel was they were worn down and oppressed to the point that they were just, all we do is get up and go and work harder and work harder, and they want us to produce more and more and more and more. And the Egyptians were going, we know what we're doing. We're forcing you to do this. We demand that you produce. And they were attentive to forced labor. They were right there controlling their forced labor, and they were going to make sure that these people did not rise up and do anything untoward or try to get away from the rulers, the taskmasters, and not build these cities. They wanted the people oppressed. And so they were under constant pressure to produce. Don't look up. Keep working, working, work. Does that sound like today? Does that sound like some of our bosses in the factories and stuff? We'll hire you, and here's your rate. And whenever you make your rate, anything you go over, we'll give you extra money for. Yeah. And when you hit that piecework and you start making a little extra money, after a while, they say, we're raising the rate. And they keep raising the rate, keep raising the rate. They know what they're doing. They know you can do it. So they keep raising the rate and demanding that you produce more and more and more and more and more and more. And you don't have time to think about anything else, because they're being attentive and they want you to be under their control, whether we like it or not. And it's not just the bosses or the supervisors at work. It can also be advertisers and companies going, oh no, you've got to produce. Your house has to look like this. It has to, I don't even know the name, Good Housekeeping, McCall's, Martha Stewart. And they're all well and fine. It's good. You look at the houses and you say, oh, that's neat. But they're like, if you're anybody, you will have your house looking like this, and your kids will look like little fashion plates coming out of these pictures of Sears and Roebuck catalog or whatever. And they're saying, you've got to produce, you've got to earn more so that you can stay up with the Joneses. And actually, we're being oppressed by that idea of that mentality of you've got to produce, you've got to. And you're not good enough if you don't hit these standards. And they keep raising the standards, so you have to keep buying and buying and buying. And when you finally get the stuff that's the latest, they change things on you. So that you have to go back and buy more. And whatever's good for you this week is bad for you next week. And you'll have to change your diet. It's constant. And actually, there's scriptures talking about this in the last days, how this will proliferate into our lives. And we're seeing it now. And we just buy into it, and we're getting bullied to do things that we're not supposed to, that is not actually required. One time, I was at a family reunion, and this cousin, who was younger than I was, but that time I was big and brawny, not really, and he was standing there and he goes, I've got to go do this, this, this. And I said, no, you don't. And he said, yes, I do. And it wasn't something that was required. There was no law that said he had to do it. There's nothing in the Bible that said he had to do it. He felt under pressure to produce. He had to go do this so that he could say, yeah, he'd get an attaboy. Yeah, you did it. Attaboy, way to go. And he says, I need to go do that. And I said, no, you don't. He goes, yes, I do. And I said, let me teach you the difference between need and what the pressure you're feeling, the urge you're feeling. He goes, like what? And I stepped right around behind that kid, grabbed him, put my hand over his mouth, squeezed his nose, and he goes, and I didn't let up. And I didn't let up. And finally, he started fighting for air. And when he got really fighting for air, I let go, stepped away from him, and I said, that is a need, buddy. That is what you need. What you're going to go do is something that you feel pressured into doing, but it's not required of you. Learn the difference, because there's things that's not required, and learn to step away and make a judgment call on. He never got very close to me for a long time after that. But that is the things that God's really wanting us to learn also. There are practical applications to what the Scripture teaches. And He was wanting these people to say, don't let yourself get frazzled. Don't let yourself get downtrodden. Don't let yourself get in the position of trying to do and please everybody else. You need physical rest. When they got out of Egypt and they made it into the, across the Red Sea, got over there, He said, okay, here's something that's very important. We call it the Sabbath. He said, take one day off. Take one day. Get away from what's pressure. Get away from run, run, run. Get away from I've got to plan the perfect event. Get away from perform it. Get away from I've got to outdo the Joneses. Get away from all that. Take one day off and rest. Even Jesus Himself said that Sabbath day, that day of rest, was made for man to be man's, be beneficial toward man. It wasn't made that we're supposed to honor the day in the sense of it was more important than us. Jesus says, the Father, my Father gave you that day so that you would take some time to sit down. I was working on my computer and it was messing up and I couldn't figure out why it was getting slower and slower and slower. And the tech whiz in the family says, when was the last time you turned it off? And I turned off a computer. Why would you turn off a computer? And she says, go home, shut all your programs down, throw away all the trash you can, and then turn it off. Wait about 15, 20 minutes and go turn it back on. Boy, did that solve a lot of problems, because it was trying to keep everything that I had started for like the last 4 or 5 months still held in its memory, and I shut it down so it knew it could completely get rid of that stuff, and it picked back up and it ran quite well. Now, my computer got fussy. It got fussy. It wouldn't do what... And I know I've been around kids, not that I've had any, but I've been around kids long enough to hear their parents say, oh, that kid's getting fussy. He needs a nap. That child is fussy. They need to go to bed. They don't want to go to bed. I want to stand up, stay up and play. I got to do this. I got to do. Child, you're going to bed. And they go, they take them in there and sometimes literally shut the door and say, don't you get out of that bed. And they put the fear of the parent into the child, and the child stays on the bed. He's very mad, or she's very mad at him. And finally they doze off, they go to sleep, they wake up, and everything's great. My computer got fussy. I said, you quit that. I turned it off, and after 15, 20 minutes, turned it back on. It was ready to go again. Now I'm going to tell y'all something. Adults, you get fussy too. Oh, yeah. Everybody ought to work with the public sometimes, because I've got people coming into the store going, I'm trying to make this and I just can't get this right now. And they're fussing and fuming, and I'm going, you need somebody really big to come to your house and say, what you're doing is not important. You need to go take a nap. So if anybody ever says to you, boy, you're getting grumpy, you need to go home and take a nap whether you want to or not. And even though you're saying, I got to do all... No, you don't. I used to walk away from the store at Clay City and I'd say, listen, it's my day off. Don't bother me. What if it's an emergency? I'd say, okay, if it's an emergency, let me ask you this. If it's an emergency and somebody's bleeding, what are you calling me for? Call an ambulance. If it's an emergency and the place is on fire, what are you calling me for? Call the fire department. If somebody's dead, why are you calling me for? Call the undertaker. Everything else can wait till tomorrow, and those three things I did name, I can't do anything about, so leave me alone till tomorrow. Oh. Yeah, now you got the picture. There's things that need to be dealt with, but a lot of times it's just all this urge that we have to be responsible and do everything. And what I'm saying right there is, folks, we all need to knock some of this stuff off we're doing, especially through this holiday season, and sit down, shut up, and take a nap. Be the little kid and get over it. We're not required to run, 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 do, do, do. God taught us that in the Old Testament and in the New. Rest in me. Trust in me. Relax. Chill out. There's verses that teach us this all the time, and yet we as Christians still aren't stepping up to what it says and going, these things are unimportant. I'm going to relax, and I'm going to keep teach my kids to relax. Now, that was the problem that the children had to get over, and God was going to teach them this lesson also. There are problems that seem to be insurmountable in your life, taskmasters and pressures that they're putting upon you, but watch what I'm going to do with Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh had said, remember, I am not going to pay any heed to what your God says. I am not. Therefore, God says, say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will do these things for you. Now, this came right after Moses had been up to see Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had doubled the workload on it. But he was saying was this, kids, you think you got problems, but this is all a setup. I'm about to teach you something. This guy's giving you grief. I'm going to teach him a lesson, and you're going to see it. Now, things look bad for you, but you haven't seen how bad they're going to get for this guy over here. Now, as you're doing this, keep trusting me. Keep going out there and working, but keep trusting me, because I'm going to shut him down. I'm going to give you a day off every week from now on because of what the forces have been coming against you, making you do this. The translation is God will force evil to capitulate. He will cause evil to cave in. He will cause evil to release us. Even though we've taken these stands and everything seems to be coming against us, we're still to be saying, I trust my God because He's made promises to me. He's made covenantal promises to me. This is a setup. It looks like things are going bad, but I am still going to take the stand. I'm going to trust Him because He will cause evil to cave and to release us. He will cause that. God has taught us again and again through illustrations in the Scripture. He always comes at the darkest times, and He always forces a change in our favor. The people that He calls, you are my kids, He forces a change that will come in your favor. Sometimes the change is with you. He'll say, what you need to go do is go home and take a nap. Better yet, take two naps. And then don't go into work the next day either, because you're really fussy. Sometimes we need to do that. Reading our Scripture, by the way, is just like breathing. It says that the Word is inspired. And the word inspired actually means breathed of God. Breath, God breathed these words out. So if you're needing fresh air like that cousin did after I got done choking him for a while, read the Word of God, because that's fresh air to us. The Word of God is also talked about as being bread. We need to feed our spirits and our souls just like we need to feed our body. By the way, when you're physically tired, you also need to eat right, and you need to get your rest and make those two things really high priority. When Elijah got in trouble and he finally got wore out, God said, you go down to this creek and you hang right there. There's a drought, but you hang there. He drank out of the fresh water from the creek that was beside of him. And ravens flew in every day and gave him bread, and he rested. And that's what God was saying to us. When you're up against the wall, you need to get your rest, you need to get your diet right, you need to start drinking refreshing water, And the Word of God is considered refreshing water at times, and sometimes it's talked about as the bread of life, and it's talked about a breath of fresh air. It's inspired to us. When we're tired and we're worn out, physically, spiritually, start with physical, get your rest, and then once you wake up from that, spend some time reading the Scriptures and spending some time with God. Because He's going to get you rested up, and then He's going to force a change in your life from the evil that's besetting you. Eventually, He says, first I'm going to deal with you, then I'm going to go over here and I'm going to force this evil to let you go. Egypt, Pharaoh. Pharaoh's men got all wiped out. Pharaoh got humiliated publicly because this God he didn't know nothing about thoroughly gave him a thrashing in public, and the children walked out. Later on, the Babylonians, the children, God said, I'll bring you out. You trust me. They came out. On and on. When the Romans were in, it was a very, very, very dark, a lot worse than the Babylonians, very dark time in the time of the nation of Israel's history. Then it was called Judah in the nation of Judah's history. At that point, they were very oppressive. They controlled absolutely everything that was going on. And God came then also to them in the form of Jesus to rescue them. And they're going, this isn't what we expected. And He's going, listen to me. I'm going to humiliate the Romans and everybody else. And at that time, the devil himself. And I'm going to release you because I have set this all up through Jesus. And eventually, the whole Roman Empire collapsed because there were so many Christians that the Roman Empire collapsed and became a Christian nation. And that was a great thing. We won't get into the history of it, but that was a great thing that happened. We can learn again that in the end times, it says the times will be dark and very, very rough. But when it gets really, really bad, Jesus Himself says, you're going to hear a trumpet. When you do, look up, because your redemption's right there. Your redemption draweth nigh. There'll be the shout of the archangel, the sound of the last trumpet. The sky will be rolled back as a scroll. The dead in Christ will start up, will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up also. And we'll all go to heaven. We will be rescued out of it. And Satan and all the evil things that are down here running around. He said, watch this, I'm going to humiliate them. And He will, and Jesus will come back and subjugate them. And then eventually there will be universal. All the Christians who have believed and the believers, He will honor us and say things like, well done. He said that to Jesus, well done. And He'll say that to us, well done. But He will humiliate everybody else, and He will call them up and say, okay, it's time for you to kneel to my Son and say that He's your Lord. And they will have to do it. And that will include the devil himself will be kneeling in front of Jesus Christ. And will be standing up there around Jesus going, oh yeah, yeah. And God will say, this is a setup. I have waited centuries, millennia, to have this happen. But I wanted you kids, I wanted my kids, my people, to see this. And now that you're all together through all the ages, here it is. Satan, bow down, and he will fall under judgment. So when you're in dark times, trust in Jesus, because he will eventually force the evil to let you free. He will cause the evil to set you free. Until then, make sure you get your rest, make sure you eat right, make sure when it comes that you also take time, quit running, to read your Scriptures and think about it, attend church, worship. It's all very, very important. And when we start doing it His way, our lives will become full of joy and peace and happiness, etc., etc., etc. And the world will not like us because we're standing there going, I ain't falling for all this fake joy over here, all this fake happiness. I've got the Lord Jesus in my heart, and I'm at peace with my God. I'm at peace with mankind. And He will cause every last evil thing in my life and in this world to eventually release me and then to bow down in front of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now, shall we stand and sing?